Barry Larkin has joined us on Sports Byline USA. I mentioned before the break about going to the World Series. That was the 1990 World Series in which the Cincinnati Reds won by beating the Oakland A's. And that was a very interesting World Series. I was a young sportscaster, and I went out, since I am here in San Francisco, to cover that World Series. And everybody was saying, well, A's will take it in four, they'll take it in five. Tell me how the Reds approached that World Series, Barry.
Yeah, I think we were young enough at that time to not really be concerned with anything. I remember us talking and watching the press clippings and watching how the teams were being covered. We saw that we didn't have a chance against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who had Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla and Andy Van Slyke and Bob Walk and some of the great pitching that they had. And then we beat them in six games. And then I remember going into the World Series and it being said that we had absolutely no chance against the A's. And we used that as motivation. We felt like we went wire to wire that year. Lou Piniella was our manager for the first time. He comes over to Cincinnati. He addresses the team the first day, and he says he doesn't like losing. He doesn't accept losing, and we're not going to lose. And that really stuck with the team. We had some really vivacious personalities on the team that year, with the Nasty Boys, Rob Dibble and Norm Charlton and Randy Myers. We had some great, great individual players. Eric Davis was absolutely on fire that year. Jose Rijo was incredible, a pitcher that year. Tom Browning threw a perfect game. I don't think it was that year, but he had a perfect game under his belt. So we had been in some really great situations. We had some great players at that time, but we were all fairly young. And I remember us using the media talk about that fact that we had no chance to kind of motivate us. And Lou Piniella would put step up on the board, and this is what they're saying about you, and you guys have no chance. This is going to be a easy cakewalk for the Oakland A's. And it was just all that. We just heard that time and time and time again, and we really used it as a rally cry. No one believes in us. Let's go out there and get this done. And you know what? We expected to go out there and win. And when Eric Davis hit that first home run in game one of the World Series, it was that really opened up the door, and we just knocked it down.
Yeah, that's. I thought that game one really set the tempo and kind of the style for that whole World Series. And you mentioned about the home run from Eric Davis. I think at that point for the Oakland A's, it put a big doubt in their mind, and they never recovered from it. Did you guys sense that in the series, that early in the series, that all of a sudden they were back on their heels?
No, we didn't. We didn't sense that. And, you know, I think anytime you're in the in battle, you're not really concerned with anything other than that next pitch. And I think that's really the reason why we won, is because we were so focused on what we were trying to do as a team. I remember guys saying, all right, that's one game, but we've got to try to win the next pitch. We've got to try to win the next out. We've got to try to win the next ground ball. And that's how I think how we got through the season. We really spent a lot of time on the real particulars of the game, as opposed to taking things for granted. I remember Lou Piniella losing his mind if we would miss a hit and run, or if we would miss a sign, or if we would miss an assignment. And he used opportunities to teach, and he would selectively lose his mind and put on a show for not only the fans but for the players as well, to say that, listen, I'm not accepting the fact that this or that did not happen. We just had so much of that type of focus and concentration going on. I don't think we were too terribly concerned or aware of them being back on their heels, because once again it was about what we were doing as opposed to what they were not doing.
Which game was it that Eric Davis crashed into the wall and got hurt so badly?
That was game four.
That was
game four. And that was he actually came. It was a sinking line drive. He was playing left field, and I was at shortstop. And he was playing center field. It was a sinking line drive to left center field, and he went to go catch the ball. I think it was left center field. And he comes down on his elbow. I was sitting there looking right at him, and I saw his face. I was like, oh, this isn't good. And then in game four also, Billy Hatcher, who was on fire, I think he hit close to 600 or 700 during the World Series. He was on absolute fire. He got hit in the hand and broke his hand during that game. So we were thinking at that time, uh-oh. We made sure that we didn't say much in the papers, but we certainly thought, let sleeping giants lie. So don't say anything that's going to rally those guys. But when those two guys went down, we were thinking, we better win this game because this thing could turn on a dime. And thank goodness we were able to win that last game with Jose Rio pitching most of the game. He was absolutely dominant. You know, if we didn't win that game, we didn't know if he was going to get a chance to come back and pitch if we had to go a game seven. So it was just our time at that time. We were playing well, and we had a lot of contributions from Billy and from Eric and those two guys going down. We were really concerned. Glad we got it done when we did.
A 4-0 sweep for the Cincinnati Reds to win the World Series championship, and as special as that season was, Barry, certainly 1995 particularly sweet for you. National League MVP, sixth in batting at .319, second in stolen bases with 51. You become the first shortstop to win the award since Maury Wills back in 1962. And the one thing I thought of when you won that award was to bring all the elements of the game, hitting, stealing, defense, all of it together to win the MVP. That's not an easy thing. What is it that means to you, the most to you, about that season that you were able to accomplish?
Well, you know, we had a pretty good team that year also. We went to the playoffs that year. We got beat, I believe, by Atlanta that year. You know, the individual awards are great, but, you know, I thought that year, 1990, 95, 99, the years that we had a chance to go to the postseason, those are really the years that I remember because in the clubhouse, the camaraderie was absolutely incredible. You know, winning cures a lot of things, and it certainly brings people closer together. And, you know, baseball being such a marathon sport, having to do it day in and day out and live with guys for 6 or 7 months and see the same people and kind of deal with everyone going through their individual thing but collectively coming together to try to win. There's something special about those years. So 95 was certainly a special year for me individually. But I had some really great players around me. I think every year that I went out there and did real well, you can look at the stats of the guys sitting in front of me and behind me. Pretty much those guys had great years as well. And I think anytime I came up, I think Kevin Mitchell or, you know, a great player, Greg Vaughn, or some guy hitting behind me, Eric Davis, or whatever it was, a situation comes up in the game, they're going to want to pitch to me as opposed to pitch to those guys, Reggie Sanders, Ronnie Gant. You know, just they had to pick their poison. They decided to pitch to me, and I got a little better quality pitch simply because the guy behind me was on fire. So that's just how it was during my career, and, you know, I was really lucky to play with a lot of great players, and 95 was certainly a great season, but it was great for a couple of different reasons, and one of those reasons is because we were able to win as a team.
We only have a minute left, but when you think back on your long career, the time you spent in baseball, the things you accomplished, the team accomplished as well, is there a moment in the private moments for Barry Larkin that's kind of been etched into your mind that you'll never forget, Barry?
You know, there were a couple plays that I made that I remember the feeling of, wow, that was a pretty awesome play. But, you know, they weren't, I don't know if they were on the forefront of other people's minds. I remember playing Atlanta, Freddie McGriff hits the ball up the middle. I remember thinking, there's no way I'm getting to this ball, and then going, oh, my gosh. Next thing I know, first baseman stretching, and we get him out at first base. And it was a huge play during the game, and the stadium was sold out. That was an incredible play. I remember hitting the 5 home runs as well. I remember the perfect game, scoring the only run in the perfect game. I remember breaking Oral Hershiser's streak of 56 consecutive scoreless innings. You know, there were a whole bunch of individual things that I remember, but I remember that last play at first base in the 1990 World Series when Tom Benzinger goes in the foul territory and catches that ball to clinch the final out of the World Series in 1990. That was that for me. That probably is the most vivid memory that I have of being on the field.
I want to thank you very much, Barry. You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and thank you for sharing your memories and thoughts with us on Sports Byline. Take care.
All right, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Barry Larkin, Hall of Famer, and deservedly so. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.